Mishnah Yomis for Thursday, the second day of Menachem Av, Tavshin Pei Gimel. Masech de Sukkah, Perek Hamishi, Mishnah Ches, and the last Mishnah of the Masechta. We learned in the previous Mishnah that if Yom Tov, the last day Yom Tov was a Friday, so the Isru Chag would be on a Shabbos, so the Kohenim who came up to be Ola Regal, to the Beis HaMikdosh, would not be able to return home till after Shabbos. Similarly, if the first day Yom Tov was on a Sunday, all the Kohenim of the Mishmaros would have to come up Erev Shabbos. They can't travel on the Shabbos of the Yom Tov. For this reason, the Chachamim said that on such a Shabbos, which is directly next to Yom Tov, either on one day or either the beginning before the Yom Tov or right after the Yom Tov, all the Mishmores, all the groups of Kohenim that come in, should all share in the Lechem Haponim. Like Yom Tov that was in a Shabbos. Like a Yom Tov that fell on a Shabbos. Even though normally, the Lechem Haponim would be shared only among the Mishmar of that particular who was serving that week. And this would apply to all Shol Shrigal, not just Sukkos. Our Mishnah, our Masechta gives an example of Sukkos, but it applies, of course, to Pesach and Shavuos as well. What happens, however, if there's a day in between? There was a chance for the Kohenim to go back home. And they didn't. They decided to stay in the Beis HaMikdash. Or they came a day earlier than they needed to. Will they also get the portion of the Lechem upon them? Do we say no? Says the Mishnah. If there was one day interruption between Yom Tov and Shabbos. For example, Yom Tov was on a Monday. Which means the Kohenim could have easily come up to Yerushalayim on the Sunday. Or on the Erev Yom Tov. But they decided to come on Friday, Erev Shabbos. Or you might have had the last day of Yom Tov fell on a Thursday, which means they all could have gone back on the Friday back home, but they decided to stay there for the Shabbos. So in that case, they will not equally share in Lechem Haponim. Mishmar Shezmanei Kavua, that group of Kohenim whose turn it was to serve that week, they would get the lion's share. Hoyenotel Eser Chalas, they would take 10 Chalas out of the 12 Chalas of the Lechem Haponim, of the bread, that special Chalas that was distributed between the Mishmar going in and the Mishmar going out, as we'll soon see what would normally happen. Here they get 10, the Hamisakev, and those other Mishmaris who didn't really need to stay there, but they decided to stay there for Shabbos, they'll get a very small portion, Notel Shtaim, they get 2 out of the 12 Chalas. By the way, Chalas here is not Chalas like we understand, Chometz, this is all Matzah. It's Matzah. It was not allowed to be Chometz. Uvishar Yomei Sashana, but generally, what would happen on a Shabbos, Hanichnas, the Mishmar, the group of Kohenim that its turn was coming in to take over, because that's the change of the guard used to happen every Shabbos after the Korban Musaf. Notel Sheish, they would take 6 Chalas. Vahayotzei, and the Mishmar, the group of Kohenim that are leaving, Notel Sheish, would also take 6. There would be an even split, says the Tanakhama, between the ingoing and outgoing group of Kohenim serving that week. Rabbi Huda says no. He says what used to happen was a bit different. Hanichnas Notel Sheva, the incoming group would take 7, Vahayotze Notel Chamesh, and the outgoing group of Kohenim would get 5. And the reason is because the incoming group would have the extra job of closing the doors in the evening, which was opened by the outgoing Mishmar and that morning, and for that they get that extra. The Gemara explains that even though next week, the next Shabbos, the one that's incoming now will be the outgoing one and they'll only get 5. So what's the difference if they get 7 now and 5 later, or they get 6 now and 6 later? Nevertheless, there is a preference. A person likes to get, if you can get an extra portion now, rather than wait, it's a nicer thing to get it now. Hanichnosin, continues the Mishnah, normally what would happen, the Kohenim of the incoming Mishmar, Cholkin, would divide the Lechem Aponim that they received, but Sofin, they would eat it in the north, so that people can see, this must be the new group coming in, because the north of the Azara was the place where they shechted the Kodshei Kedoshim, the holiest of Korbanos, such as a Korban Olah. V'hayotzin, the Kohenim of the outgoing Mishmar, Badorim, would divide between them the Lechem Aponim in the south of the Azara to make people aware that they're the outgoing ones. Bilgo, there was a group of Kohenim called the Bilgo group, and each Mishmar, each group of Kohenim had a name, they had their own name. La'olam chalekas badorim. They would always get the lechem upon him in the south. They were penalized. Even though they were the incoming group, they would still only get it in the south of the Azara, not the north like all other incoming groups. They were further penalized in a second matter, with Tabaita Kavua, that their ring was fixed. They couldn't use it. There were 24 rings that were there in the Azara, in the temple courtyard, along the north of the Mizbeach. There was one ring for each group of Kohanim that would come there. And these rings were used either, according to some, to put the neck of the animal in, according to others, the leg of the animal in, to make it easier to shecht it. And, or others say that the rings refer to the rings that they would hang the animals by and strip the hide of them. Now, the ring of the group of Bilga was shut down. No one could use it. They couldn't use it. Again, this was something embarrassing for that Mishmar, that group, because they would always have to borrow someone else's ring. And a third penalty they made on this group called Bilga is V'chalona Stuma, and the window was closed. What does that mean? In the chamber of the knives, where they kept the knives, there were 24 windows there, 24 little lockers, where they kept their knives there. And they did not have access to their locker. That's one pshat. Others say that these windows were actually little cupboards that they kept the clothes, the Kohanim's clothes there for each Mishmar. And their window or their locker was closed again or locked, they couldn't use it. Now why were these three penalties applied? Why it was so bad about this group? The Gemara explains the reason is because of a story that happened. One of the daughters of the Kohanim of that group, her name was Miriam Bas Bilga. She converted, Shmatzich, she went into the Greek religion or whatever, and she got married to, in fact, one of the Greek generals. And when the Greeks entered the Heichal in the days of the Chashmonaim, she came with them, went up to the Mizbeach and kicked it and said, Lucas, Lucas, which means wolf, you wolf, calling the Mizbeach a wolf. How long are you going to continue destroying the money of the Jewish people? And you don't even help them when they need it. And when the Chashmonaim eventually conquered and drove out the Greeks and purified the Mikdash, brought everything back to normal, they paid a penalty on this Mishmar in the three areas that we said before, in where they ate the Lechem Aponim, where they had no ring, no access to the ring, and no access to the lockers. Even though it was only one girl who did it, why did they penalize the whole Mishmar? And the answer is because a daughter only does that because she's heard that from her family or heard it from her Mishmar, etc. And that's why it's happened. We start now a new Masechta, Masechta Beya, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph. Masechta Beya is called that because of the first opening words about an egg that's born that was laid on Yom Tov. Some have it called Masechtas Yom Tov because it's going to deal with the laws of Yom Tov and that apply to all the Chagim. The big difference between Rosh Shabbos and Yom Tov is that on Yom Tov we're allowed to do Melacha for Oichel Nefesh, for food. And even though it only says it by Pesach, it applies to all the Yom Tovim food. There is our Masechta is going to deal with quite a few issues of the Yom Tov, but one of them that we're going to deal with right now at hand is in the first opening Mishnah, is in the mitzvah of Hachana, of preparation. The Pasuk says, V'hoi v'yam ha-shishi v'echinas asher yaviyah. On the sixth day, they shall prepare that which they shall bring. It's a mitzvah on Friday, on the sixth day, to prepare everything you need for Shabbos. And the same thing we learn applies to Yom Tov. A mitzvah to prepare every Yom Tov, what you need for Yom Tov. And here we're not just talking about preparing in action. For example, cooking and baking in Erev Shabbos, because it says explicitly, Eifor to Eifor, Vesesh, Vashla, Vashla, whatever you need to cook, cook now, cook Shabbos, cook, bake now for Shabbos. Rather, it means Kavona of Hachona. It means a preparation in mind or in speech. I'm going to take this and this and this. I'm going to eat this on Shabbos. I prepare this and this, this for Shabbos. Now, a weekday meal doesn't need achana. You don't have to. It has no chashivas. But the suda, the meals of Shabbos and Yom Tov require a conscious achana hazmana. And that's what it means by vehechin, they shall prepare. And if it wasn't prepared, then we say, then you're not allowed to use it on Shabbos and Yom Tov. We call it Einoi Min HaMuchan. It's called something that was not prepared, and we call it Muktza. Muktza means it's separate. It's set aside. It was set aside. We're going to learn in our Mishnah now about a tarnagol, about a hen that was there for having eggs. And the halacha is a hen which is there to grow eggs, to lay eggs. You were not allowed to shecht it and eat it on Yom Tov. Normally you're allowed to shecht on Yom Tov and eat, but you cannot shecht a hen and eat it from a Yom Tov if it was there for laying eggs. It's mukta. It's set aside. You mentally were not prepared for it to use it for Yom Tov. You're not allowed to even eat the egg that it laid on Yom Tov. Our Mishnah is going to deal with a tarnagolus, a hen, that is there for eating. It's not for laying. But it happened to lay an egg in Yom Tov. Now here, the egg is not mukta, because the tarnagolus, the whole hen, was mukhana, was prepared. So you should be allowed to shecht and eat it on Yom Tov. And therefore, min hadin, you should be able to eat the egg as well in Yom Tov. If Erev Yom Tov was choil, if the day before was a weekday. But if it was Shabbos, if Yom Tov fell on a Sunday, in other words, if it was Shabbos that preceded Yom Tov, then the egg that's laid on Yom Tov is osur, is mukta. Why? Because if it's laid on Yom Tov after Shabbos, it means it was prepared from Shabbos. That means Shabbos has prepared for Yom Tov. That's a no-no, you can't do that. Hachona, preparation, has to be from the weekday to Yom Tov, not from Shabbos to Yom Tov. But what about a normal Yom Tov? Are we going to be so strict as to ban any egg that's laid on Yom Tov because of Yom Tov that fell after Shabbos, or not? And here we have a machlekes by Shami Beisel. Beitza shenol to be Yom Tov, an egg that was hatched, or that was not hatched, that was laid on Yom Tov. The hen laid an egg, and this is a hen that was omid lachila, was there for eating, so there's not a question of mukta here. Beishamai say, Beishamai omrim teochel. They said, yes, you can eat the egg on Yom Tov, just like the hen. It's allowed to eat on Yom Tov. The chicken you can have. It's not mukta. Its mother, the tarnagolus, was prepared for Yom Tov, so the egg is also agav, by the way, is also prepared for Yom Tov. And we do not worry about a case of Yom Tov that will fall after Shabbos. That's osur, even Beisham agree, but we're not going to make it prohibited on an ordinary Yom Tov that falls after a weekday. We will not prohibit it because of that case of Shabbos. Or Vesil Alomrim Loitachel. Vesil say, no, cannot be eaten. You're not allowed to eat the egg that was laid on Yom Tov, because it's osur on the Yom Tov that fell after Shabbos, because Shabbos can allow to prepare for Yom Tov. You can't have something that was prepared from Shabbos Yom Tov. Any egg laid on Yom Tov was prepared the day before. So if it fell Shabbos, after Shabbos, then Shabbos has prepared for Yom Tov. Everyone agrees that's osur. But Beis Hillel go one step further. They say the Chachamim made a gzera on every Yom Tov, even a Yom Tov that falls after a weekday, a Yom Tov that falls on the Tuesday, that follows Monday. They will also say you can't have it, because you might come to eat the egg that was laid on a Sunday, on a Yom Tov that's a Sunday, which everyone agrees you can't have. Now, this is, by the way, one of the halachas where Beis Shammai actually lenient and Beis Hillel are more strict, which is unusual. And our Mishnah is going to bring another example where we will see Beis Shammai adopting a stricter view than Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai Yomrim Se'or B'chazayis. They say the shear of isur, of yeast, is a kazais, about an ounce. B'chametz, b'chakasevis. B'chametz, its isur is a bit bigger. It needs to be a size of a dried date, which is bigger than a kazais, bigger than another, bigger than an ounce, but smaller than an egg. V'sil lemrim, zevizeh b'chazais. V'sil say no. Both yeast and chametz, and generally chametz, edible chametz, is the shear of eating them is the size of the shear of isur is the size of a kazais. So Beis Hillel is more strict. But what isur are we talking about? We're talking about the isur of eating, having it in your house, beer chametz. The Gemara explains we're not talking about eating. And when it comes to eating chametz, even Beis Shammai agree, both are the shear of a kazais. Both are shear of a kazais. As it says, k'chol oichel chametz, anyone who eats chametz, machmetzes, I should say, benechosah, he gets chorus. And it starts off talking about sour yeast. So the Gemara learns, that Beis Shammai learns that, no question, even Beis Shammai agree, to eat, it's osur, even if a shear bekazais, even the smaller shear. Like Basil say, bekazais. What are they arguing about? They're arguing about biur chametz. When do you have a mitzvah of getting it out of your property? And if you didn't, when have you violated the isser of balir balimacham alimotze? Beshamai say that since the posuk mentions, when it talks about biur, getting rid of, it mentions soir and chametz separately, it's telling us that there's a different shear for each. Even though there is the same shear as far as eating, Beis Shammai agree to that. It's also to eat chametz or yeast in the size of a kazayis, mina Torah. But as far as beer, the having the mitzvah of getting it out of your property, there's a difference. And that's why the Torah itemizes in them each one separately. For chametz, you have to take it out if it's even a kazayis. For yeast, even the size of a kazayis. Whereas for chametz, a date, size of a date. Dried date. Basil say no. Basil say that when it comes to beer chametz, we apply the same principles as isur of eating chametz. And just like eating, there is no difference between yeast and chametz, yeast and edible chametz, that their shear is a kazais. So too, the mitzvah of beer chametz, of getting it out of your property, getting rid of it, you have to eradicate it, is going to be the shear of a kazais, both for yeast and for regular chametz.